those numbers. He's not going to be very fast. Well, he runs.
Nope. Time out for a virtual measurement.
Sorry, you've been stopped for
I'd rather see the virtual world. I'll get back to that story, I promise.
The chain gang is still employed. They have not been made redundant, as they would say in the UK. If it's close to a first down, you're going to get a virtual measurement, and you're going to see everybody look up to the screen to check out to see if the first down was made. There's the virtual measurement, and there was the line to gain. So the Lions have a first down.
That was good. That was better than my story.
No, it wasn't.
No, that was good. I like it. It's sort of like the tennis.
Sort of like the tennis. Except there's one very big difference than the tennis. Nobody spots a ball in tennis. Hey, good morning. I'm about to get more upset than I should on a Friday that's beautiful at 7 a.m.
Uh-huh.
But this isn't I told you so. And they're still doing it. The entire offseason was filled, by the way, good morning, Jeremy and Joe, filled with NFL-adjacent people, league, reporters, on and on, saying, finally, the major change we've been waiting for, selling the virtual measurement as the elimination of the chain gang. And it's one of those examples where you would see this story posted on Facebook and every comment would say how, thank goodness, because they just led people to believe now there's a chip in the ball that's going to tell you if it's a first down, if the runner got the line to gain, when that is not what's happening.
Right.
Collinsworth, it's kind of like tennis. Do you know what Albert Breer tweeted last night? Like Albert Breer, just fine. He said it's kind of like tennis. It's not like tennis.
The graphic looks like tennis, and that's about it.
The graphic looks a lot like tennis.
And that's about
it. In tennis, a computer super shoots all the angles, and the computer says that was in.
Yeah.
It is not like tennis. It's like a person sets the ball on the ground, and then we say, whoop, hold on, we got a virtual measurement. You hear how fast that happened? That was so fast. That was so fast. It was so quick. This new technology they have. Congratulations. Breer's tweet was something to the effect of, it shows you how far behind the NFL was. They're not caught up. What are you talking about? Yeah. They're not caught up to tennis. They do not have chips in the ball and the exoskeleton of the ball and synced up with the knee and all that. And that might be very difficult to do. And I think it's generally what we've got is probably fine. I cannot understand why we had a full offseason of people in the NFL pretending it's something it isn't. And even last night doing it while it's happening.
Right.
Kind of like tennis. Do they actually want viewers to think that that's what happened? Because I think that's what they want.
I think they might want the belief that this is fixing the problem when the problem is the spotting of the ball in the first place.
Right. The problem has always been where it's spotted. I think they want...
They want people to think that this is what it isn't.
That it is exact.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. If they know that that a lot of people are wrong about what this is, and they are good, they're not only good with that, they might even be encouraging that.
Sure, sure. I mean, we live in a society where, you know, posting stories that are fake on Facebook is profitable. Yeah. So why wouldn't the NFL just think, you know what? If they don't know that this isn't what that is, then who cares?
Right.
If I can convince 30% of the fans to shut up about spots because now they think it's like tennis when it's not at all like tennis, wow.
If I could give you one silver lining, because that drives me mad, that spotting of the ball by the official, like when the Bills don't get the first down against the Chiefs, you believe Josh Allen got over the line, your problem isn't this part of it. Your problem is that one official had it short of the line to gain, the other official had it long of the line to gain. Mm-hmm. And nobody is still to this day giving me a good explanation for what happens in that situation.
Oh, I know.
Or did we have a good one? I just forgot about it.
The explanation is that Josh threw it to the official that was short.
That's what I mean. Like, there's no process
It's
for
not
that.
His fault.
It's whoever official you give the ball to.
That guy spots it.
That's the spot you go with.
Unless somebody overrules it. Like,
right.
One official can overrule the other.
Right.
You walk in and whatever.
The one thing this is doing is it is saving time. Right. So that's your one silver lining.
Gotcha. It's more time for rules officials to come on and challenge opening kickoff.
Uh-huh.
The opening kickoff of this game last night got reviewed.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Great. More time. Well, I'm sure. What are we gonna do with that extra time? They're gonna put an ad on that virtual review in 2 days. They ran it last night. Now they're going to sell it. Now the virtual review is brought to you by so-and-so. And that's fine.
Well, until we're going to get a moment, or eventually we will. Eventually we will get a moment where it's clear that the officials are wrong in where they spotted the ball. And then they'll do this. And maybe that's when people that right now believe this is fixed at all are going to go, oh, wait a minute. No, wait, this is only telling me from where they spotted it. Oh, okay, that's not the way that this should be. Like, there's going to be an aha moment, I think, for that 30%, or maybe it's 60%, I don't know what it is, of people that believe that this fixed the spotting of the ball, where it'll be clear, oh, they spotted that ball wrong, and it didn't end up going the way that you wanted it to, needed it to.
I have now gone further in on this, and I want to know if this is at all possible. Because if you've watched enough football, you know. And by the way, 803-0550, get to a call here in a minute. And if you want to give us a ring on anything you saw last night or anything on the Bills, we'll be happy to chat with you. So hang on 1 second. When you challenge the spot of a ball, don't we all kind of know, oh, you know, hypothetically, McDermott is challenging the spot.
Yeah.
We know that's a tough challenge to win. They don't move the ball 4 inches.
Right.
We know they don't do that. But
it's got to be like a full yard at least before they move it.
Isn't there some version of, hey, make the official watch. I promise you I'm not advocating for more replay, but make the official watch the replay and spot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do it again where you think it is.
Yeah.
Now you can slow it down. Instead of saying I need conclusive evidence one way or the other, I don't know if it's going to move an inch, guys. I don't know if it's going to move 3 inches. Oh, fine. You just watch the replay and put it down. Because guess what we have? Now we actually have Hawkeye technology.
Right.
That will, you don't even have to worry about the measuring of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, actually, you know what? I don't know if this moves one way or the other, but when I watch the replay slower and see where the ball appears to be, it looks like it's right here. Okay, Hawkeye, is that past the line? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a little more useful if I do it that way?
I think so. I think that's more
useful. You can kind of cross-reference it against the original spot, and now the challenging of spots might be more useful. Right. For instance, like in the scenario with the Bills and that fourth down play, again, like, it's not what it's intended for. It's actually not what's happening, and I don't know if it would change that play.
I don't think it would.
No, but I'm saying
if the officials
say, like, let's watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I watch it, I mean, could Hawkeye be
Could Hawkeye
be implemented just that way, where, all right, the official can watch the points of the ball and freeze it when the knee touches and say Hawkeye says that's at this yard line and place the ball at that yard line.
That's the point. On that idea,
can we?
There's a chance.
Can we marry the tech with the human looking at the knee?
Because if you do that, there is a chance that ball is then a first down. Whereas what they are doing now, there's no chance.
No,
because what they're changing is the time it takes. That they don't have to have two guys grab the chains, run out onto the field, set them up, extend it. Ref looks at it. Maybe he uses an index card. They've done that before, right?
Gene Steratore did that, and I cannot believe he was not fired and never spoken to again. He is celebrated for literally inventing a way to measure a first down on the spot.
Right. So he got. So they do that, and then they hold up the two fingers. Then the chain gang marches back off the field. So all of that has been replaced with they hit a button and now it tells them in 10 seconds. That's the only thing that's changed. So go back to that Bills Chiefs play. There is 0% chance under this that it's any different.
Oh, yeah.
Your idea, maybe they don't still call it a first down. They might. Like, there is a chance that could happen, that they could correct the spot. And that's the part about how it almost feels like someone at the NFL has to know that it's perceived for being something that it isn't, and is either cool with that or kicking their feet up. Like
it has to be intentional to mislead people,
because it's good PR. Like, oh, the NFL has fixed something.
Right, right. The NFL is,
and they don't want to come out and tell, actually, guys, we didn't fix something.
No.
They're not going to do that.
No. The again, like, kind of back to what I was getting about with challenging a spot. You do not see officials move a ball a foot. It's did it get over or did it not?
Right.
If the spot is 8 inches short of the first down line, and it looks like, actually, I mean, that might be within 1 to 2 inches, they don't move it. They will not move a spot unless it's like a yard. It's one of the toughest challenges to win, and it can often be one of the most important ones. Anyway, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. That's one of my three things to complain. The segment is, or the show is called today, three things to complain about that are not about rules officials. That was number one. I have number two locked and loaded, and
don't know number three.
I still have to at some point remember what my third thing was. But
was the third thing about underdog fantasy in New York State?
No. I don't remember
what it was. We couldn't put our parlay in yesterday, which is fine because we lost it anyway. Because of your Meeks guy or whatever. One catch for 5 yards.
No strays here. Nothing. For Jackson Meeks.
Jackson Meeks.
Sorry, the Lions offense couldn't get out of its own way. Sean in Long Island. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
All right. So as far as the Trey White versus Max Harrison kind of conundrum here, we've got so we brought in Pellegrino from the Patriots as more of a man-to-man, hopeful approach, I believe. Obviously, I think that was probably the driving force to bring him in to try to work in some more man-to-man, probably as well as the hire from Jacksonville with Nielsen. I know he's on the D-line, but I think the concept of trying to roll in some more man-to-man was there. With Harrison going down, I feel like that could take – that obviously goes to the back burner now, those plans. And Trey White, because of his lack of success in that kind of scheme, they'll probably have to shift back more to zone. That being said, the question I have is nickel cornerback such a niche thing that Taron Johnson is just totally not even a thought to go to the outside and then slide Cam Lewis down as the nickel? If they want to, because, you know, he's the same size as Harrison. He obviously doesn't, I don't think he's got the explosiveness that Harrison does, but he probably has, you know, good speed, but better speed than Trey. I just don't know what the options are if it is 5 weeks and then, Harrison is derailed for a bit. Do we look at the market as we get to cut down day and see if there's anybody else that could fit the scheme, and maybe we scoop up somebody that's, you know, surprisingly good in our system as well? I mean, I just don't know what their plan of attack will be now with, I think, was an obvious point of emphasis in the offseason to try to roll in more creativity on the defense through man-to-man.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. The idea of Taron Johnson moving outside, like I just don't see it. I mean, you'd be weakening two spots, right?
And you would.
He's super important in the way that they defend because of how good he is in run support. Like he's willing and able. Right. And Tre'Davious White, I don't know if you're saying like move Tre'Davious White to the slot and Johnson to the outside, but I think they could add or could shuffle the deck a little bit at the start of the season once everybody gets cut. But I would say it's a long shot. The guys they brought back are guys that know what's up. That's Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
I think that by bringing two guys that know what they're doing in for cheap deals, cheap, and then drafting a high-ceiling rookie, that's probably, if they wrote on the board of goals of the offseason, that was probably at the top. Mm-hmm. Let's shore up our depth and raise our ceiling at corner two to go across from Christian Benford. That's probably number one. And that's exactly what they did. And Hairston's injury, I don't think, is long enough term to derail it, any of that. His development might suffer a little bit, and his knowledge of the defense might suffer a little bit, but I don't see anybody else coming in without another injury. That's what you mentioned.
Yeah,
Cam Lewis.
I don't either.
Jamarcus Ingram. These are familiar faces, familiar names for this Bills secondary.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they'll add anybody at this point. The Johnson point, like he I was surprised to see he did play, 40 snaps on the outside in 2019. He hasn't done it like at all since.
Yeah.
I think if you were going to do that with him, you would have done that way earlier in his career. You've never had the need to. It comes down to how much, I guess, you believe that Trey White having a great camp is meaningful to what he'll look like in the regular season. And I want to take that to heart a little bit, but I don't want to assume that he's going to perform even, again, as well as Douglas did last year. So I guess we'll see. If he starts the year and it's, that was a little bit of a facade of what he was before the season started, now what do I do? Like, I don't, even then, I don't think. I think you just go to Dane Jackson, maybe. Or you're just waiting for Hairston to come back and look healthy and understand the defense. Or maybe you just even try him at some point before that even happens. Isn't that likely that before Hairston even gets in there as a full-time starter that they would rotate him in? They did that with Kyrie Elam and Levi Wallace when Tre'Davious White was hurt the first time around. So they've done it in the past in spots, and that might be the thing that I expect to happen more than anything at corner, is that Hairston is going to get in there and rotate at some point.
803-0550. Thanks, Sean, for the phone call. Zoe in Buffalo. Hey, Zoe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I was wanting to talk about, we were talking about the spot of the ball and stuff like that. I believe, and I think they should, you know, have these little chips inside of the football on the tip of the ball. Even with the pylon cam on the side where the first down at, the cam to know if that person got the first down. I also think they could determine from the chip being in the ball if that ball was picked up with the first down, even with the bodies being all over it. I think it is already in place now, and I think they already have it. I think they probably use that to juggle, oh, this team got the first down, who I want to go move forward to the next team in the playoff and stuff like that. But I think they need to let the fans know now, like, oh, this is what we have in place to let y'all know if it's really a first down, and giving all the hard work to the referee to determine that. The chips could be real light. You don't have to be nothing heavy to, you know, to throw the ball off track when it's being thrown.
So I think there's chips in the ball already.
There is one.
There's one chip in the ball?
There is one, yes. There is a chip in the ball. And, again, the technology that they are debuting this year, every headline, I searched it because I was – what I'm looking for is I'm trying to find a story that we read back in maybe January or February that was – went deep into detail on why they don't have the system where the chip just tells you if the guy broke the plane.
Right.
Like, why don't they have that? Because the Hawkeye to measure it, which is what they have now, just tells you if where the guy placed the ball is across the line to gain without walking out with chains. That's all that happens.
Mm-hmm.
There is the technology to do the rest of it, but the problem is there are a lot of factors, and GPS and spotting of the ball and RFID and all, there's a 6-inch give or take when you try that, and 6 inches is everything for that. You can't be 6 inches over, and the system says, like, that looks like it's short. You just can't have that. So it might be something they get to in the future, but the RFID, I'm reading from the article here in Yahoo Sports, it's been in place, the RFID tracking tech, since 2017. Those chips are also affixed to players' pads. That's how next-gen stats has come about. Like, we've seen ball carrier speed and how far a ball travels in the air and all that. The NFL has toyed with locationing. Could a ball cross the goal line? Could it cross out of bounds? And, you know, where a punt goes out of bounds. There's an expectation that before long, the RFID tracking would help with ball spotting. However, the margin of error is still up to 6 inches, according to the company that they would work with here.
And my opinion on that has always been, I think it's ridiculous to think that the referees now are within 6 inches of accuracy.
Oh, they definitely. Again, like,
I think you are improving for sure.
You are not
on accuracy.
It would be a disaster.
You think right now they're within 6 inches?
Yes.
Walking all the way from the sidelines, knowing exactly when the ball reached its farthest point. They are within 6 inches?
Yeah, hold on. That's not the important thing. I mean, that's part of it. If you you know what? We're rolling out this technology. The buzzer that goes off to say the ball crosses the plane of the goal line could buzz 6 inches short.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that happens, you scrap the system.
No, you review it, and like a referee would have called a touchdown, and you just do the same thing.
But there's no reviews in that scenario. You're turning it over to the tech. You're turning it over to the technology to say, oh, the official signals touchdown as a player reaches for the end zone, and we watch, and he is 6 inches short. As soon as you see it with your eye, that is 6 inches short, but the official has signaled touchdown, you're asking, wow, the official really blew that. Like, actually, that's the tech that blew that.
But either way, I don't care who's making the original decision. I've got all the cameras up in New York. They're going to call down immediately and say, actually, that was short. It's the same thing. The only difference is the chip is telling me, in one instance, the chip is telling me it was a touchdown and it isn't. And in the other one, the line judge is telling me a touchdown and it isn't. What's the difference?
So why do you need the system?
Because the system is improving my accuracy. I'm going from, I think, more than 6 inches of misidentifying where the ball was to, if I get 6 inches, I think that is better than the current officials.
You cannot turn it over to a system that would...
That is better than the officials.
No, I don't think it is.
I think it is
better than the
officials. I think it's crazy to think the refs are that accurate.
I guess I would say this. Why have the system if we're still having reviews?
Because it's getting it's improved.
Isn't the whole idea that you should get rid of reviews?
No,
I want to know at this system, this RFID tracking system, again, that they've tracked and is not accurate enough. They've said it's not accurate enough.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Blandino in 2021, that type of thing would have to happen for this to progress to a point where the NFL would think about implementing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about it's every game. The only thing capable of tipping scale is a high-profile incident in a playoff game.
Which we had.
Right.
We had the Josh Allen sneak.
Right. What about it? Did he get it? Are we sure?
What I'm saying is the chip is more likely to get that right than the line judge is.
But,
and I'm going to take the system that is more accurate. I don't care who decides.
What you're assuming is that the chip would be wrong in the same direction all the time. So the chip, we have the chip.
No, it might not be.
We have the chip technology. We watched that replay and the chip says he was 6 inches short.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I'd have more faith that that would be correct than I'm saying the line judge. I would have more faith in
that. No, but as it says,
yeah.
6 inches short, you're going to say like, well, that must be right. Or is it wrong? And thereby worthless.
It's not worthless. Like, just because it can be wrong, that's what I have. I already have that. I'm just getting it happening less often.
But VAR is not wrong. That's the thing about VAR. The soccer chip,
yeah.
the chip technology in soccer is never wrong.
Right.
Have you ever seen a goal where they say, you know what, that was the buzzer said it went over the line, and
right.
It didn't. You never happens.
Do we know their margin of error? There must be some, but maybe it's less than an inch. I don't know what it is.
Maybe.
It could be so microscopic that it's not even worth mentioning.
Right.
But everything's going to and the other thing, if you implement that and you I think you're more likely to try to improve on it then and get better year after year on that. That kind of comes down to, I already feel like they have an inexact system that just replacing one system that, which is just the humans deciding, the referees on the sideline, the line judges, deciding how close you are. If I have another one that I'm also going to get wrong sometimes, but it's going to happen less often.
Not sometimes. You're just, every single one of them is, ballpark it, 6 inches.
You know, wait, that's saying everyone's going to be six, or the, can be 6 inches.
That means
inches.
The margin of error. That means like when you're spotting, it's like we've got about a 6-inch fuzzy space that we think is, which I guess would mean 3 inches each way. I don't want to.
I don't want to
multiply it to 12. But do you know how much 6 inches is relative to a football? It's a little more than half a football.
It's also
so now when I'm reaching forward and placing the ball out, it's either going to give me a half a football. Like
it's also 1/6 of a yard, by the way.
Right.
Again, like that's the margin of error that they're saying is too large to go to this system is also too small for them to ever correct on a replay review.
No, that's true.
So actually, in that instance, like it by their definition, it kind of is small enough of a margin of error, because if they watch a replay and it's only a 6-inch difference, are they going to change it?
But again,
almost never.
That system to completely spot the ball, that's a margin of error that is independent of when the knee went down. They don't have the full system in place, and it's just the 6 inches.
Because you would need to pair that with, what, a chip in the knee pad?
Every single knee pad, every single elbow, every single butt, every single... And in addition to that, there's forward progress.
Now that's
Now it's the official blows the whistle for forward progress, and where was the ball? Roughly 6 inches, you know, give or take, when the official blew the whistle. Like, it's not a perfect system that also includes a 6-inch margin for error. The system they have right now, there is not a 6-inch margin for error. The person, the official, places the ball on the ground, and then they zap it, and there's no margin for error. That's just accurate because it's not moving, and they can digitally map the field.
But the spotting of the ball has a full yard margin of error, if not more. Like that's the only point I'm trying to make is what you have now, the line judge, his margin for error is 6 times greater than what that chip would give me.
I mean, if you're saying they're going to miss it by a yard.
Yeah, a yard. We don't think they ever miss it by a yard.
But whenever they miss it by a yard, it's only because a different interpretation of when the play stops. Is that not correct?
Right. Like other than the only other instances where that would not be true is when, like, these sneaks, especially with all these sneaks now,
right, the sneaks
where Josh Allen
tough.
Is in the sneak and he is buried within 10 guys, and, like, you can't see him. You don't really know how far that football went. The line judge has no way. He can't see through all of those people. The chip would. Wouldn't it?
The chip would see where the ball is.
The chip would know where the ball is when the line judge might never see the ball. He might just be taking a guess.
So then how does he know when to call the play dead?
Like, they're guessing. You don't think they guess on some of those plays? There are plays where we see the camera down the line. Like, there's no way that line judge saw where the ball was
and the knee
at the same time.
So now you're just basically throwing in a grab bag of, like...
kind of. Like, really, the point here is, even with this chip part of it, there's no exact way to do it. There's no exact way to do it. But if you want that Josh Allen play, if you think he was over the first down marker, to ever be completely accurately judged, you eventually have to go to something like this. Maybe it has to get better, but you have to go to something like this eventually. And I think they will. All the tech stuff that's happening these days in sports, VAR and the tennis thing, the NFL's not there yet. To think they never will, like, I don't think that. I think they eventually will get to that. Maybe it takes some high-profile mistake or what, but it's a $10 billion league. And, yep, like, even though it kind of sounds complicated, like, oh, we need to know where the knee is down and the ball at the same time.
It is very complicated.
Like, it is, but with the money that they have at their disposal, I think they could hire, like, 3 electrical engineers, take 2 years
How
at
hard
it, and they
could
probably,
it be?
Probably will figure it out.
How hard could it be? What do you think's worked on this project so far?
Probably
Let's call
electrical
some electrical engineers.
Just call a couple electrical engineers. You'll figure it out.
If you're an electrical engineer, the phone number is 803-0550 if you want to call us. All right, we got to get a break in. Sal coming up at 8 o'clock. It's the return of the blue and red tonight at Highmark Stadium on WGR.
It's a feeling, though, right, that you get, right? It's a feeling that when you watch Ja'Marr Chase, even though we've only really seen him play with Joe Burrow outside of his injuries, it's like, I know what that dude is. The same thing with the Justin Jefferson. And even in watching DK Metcalf, it's not just about his number. It's the physicality in which he plays with. It's the imposing being that he is. And so for Terry McLaurin, it's where do you fit in there? Do they feel like your skill set translates to that sort of money?
To which the answer is definitely, of course. He's fantastic.
Yes.
He'd make every team he played for better. Terry McLaurin. He's been great the whole time.
Yep.
Finally got a quarterback, had a bunch of touchdowns, and people treat that like, oh, he's trying to cash in on the big touchdowns. Like, the actual answer is probably he could have had that the entire time.
Yeah.
He finally got somebody to show what he could do.
How different is McLaurin as a trade idea right now compared to what Diggs would have been a year ago for a team acquiring him? Same age.
Yeah.
Diggs went for a second, and he did not sign a new massive deal with Houston. He might have got one, right? He got a pretty good deal from New England, even with a knee injury.
Right.
But it's like that. That's, I wonder how many teams are just willing to line up and give a 30-year-old receiver that money. I think Washington should, like, over at least 3 years or something like that. But you're not getting like a 6-7 year experiment here. This is going to be for you're happy with McLaurin being this for 2 years, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you get him,
yeah.
I guess the difference was Diggs was. Is declining the wrong word? He didn't finish strong, right? In 23, and McLaurin did.
Right. He had just come off 3 incredible seasons and kind of gotten phased out a little bit, so there were some doubts. And the team also wanted him to move.
And Washington does not.
You would think that they're not eager to do that, yeah.
No, they probably just want him to play on his current contract.
803-0550. Toby in Buffalo. Hey, Toby, good morning.
Yeah, real quick on that signal. What happened was I use a 512 hertz strength signal, and even 4 feet difference is like 5% accuracy. And then if it's standard and it's locked on, you can verify it. But if it's moving around or there's plenty of things, obstruction. So I'll give you a real quick example. I was trying to locate a broken pipe. It said it was 4 feet. We dug down. There was no pipe there. It was actually 8 feet down. the signal was a foot off just at 4 feet. Mm-hmm. And we use very expensive, very huge signals. To do that on a grand scale with so much interference in radio, and you guys, I know you guys know radio signals, that it's very difficult if it's moving, obstruction, distance, if the ball is perfectly, you know, if it's tilted over or on its back, that all affects it. So the technology is just not there for that type of action. I'm surprised they even said 6 inches. Yeah, very shocked at that.
Thanks, Toby. You overestimate my knowledge of radio signals.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, we are indeed on the radio.
Yes.
But signals,
ask me to explain how we are arriving at your radio. I'm going to have a tough time.
Yeah. Boy, I just had something.
That kind of points to, though, that, like, it, you know, I said, like, hire a couple electrical engineers. It sounds like it was expensive, and it would be expensive just to get it to 6 inches in the first place. Inaccuracy.
I don't think the NFL is resistant to perfect ball spotting technology because it's expensive. I don't believe that. I mean, again, every article about it today is, and I saw another one, it's Yahoo Sports. Every headline, the headline really is, we've done it. And the story is, it's not that big a change.
No.
I do have a fun tweet about this, and I appreciate this. Like, I'm over here trying to explain that it's a lot more difficult than people give it credit. Lawrence wrote in, how is it possible I can walk into a place across from the electric building, stand in front of an orange box and hit a golf ball, and it can tell me within seconds how far and accurate I was, yet the NFL can't figure this out? I'll do my best to explain why I think that that is different. Uh-huh. Because the computers are processing one thing there, the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What did the ball do? How did it spin? What was its speed? What was the angle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the quickness with which it processes all that, like on a TrackMan, is impressive. And if you've played simulator golf, they are accurate and really impressive. The issue is not where is the ball. If you wanted to highlight the ball, it's a lot probably like Fox tracking the puck around the boards in 1994. Is it not? Hey, look, there's the ball. The issue is, if you really wanted it to be spotted 100% properly, you would need thousands of data points on everything. You would need every knee, every elbow, forward progress. I don't even know what you would do about that. Officials blow a whistle. Now I need every one of those to be respondent and synced up with when the whistle blows.
Mm-hmm.
So the computer can instantly simulate a still photo of where the ball is and where all the knees are and when the whistle blows. And the idea that you want all of that crunched immediately to tell you where the spot is, I don't think it's as easy as anybody makes it out to be. I think it's probably elaborate and difficult to do. So if they could do it, should they just use AI? I don't know, can AI do that kind of thing? Maybe that's in the future. But
I think it is in the future, I think it's also fair to point out that it might be tough to do that.
I don't know if you're talking about like three-dimensional imaging of every single body on the field and lines to gain and all that. I don't think it's as easy as anybody says it is. One spot they probably could do this is, and I don't know if this has ever been discussed, kicks that go over the uprights at the top.
Oh, yeah. That feels way easier than spotting the ball.
That's sure. Map it, shoot the crossbar straight up in the air.
He's got to virtually
shoot it. Yeah. Did it go inside? Where did it cross over?
Right.
You know, that's not the K zone? A baseball. Where's the baseball? Go through this box.
Right.
There's a box that's mapped on your television and mapped in the system. One ball, where did it go through there? To me, that doesn't seem ridiculous that the TrackMan can do that, and that actually trying to figure out where the proper spot for a football is would include quite a bit more crunching. We'll build a computer the size of a stadium next to every stadium so it can run those numbers real fast. I don't know. I also don't think it's I don't think it's a massive problem. I know what happened last year in the playoff game. I know. I don't think it's something that is a massive problem for the league.
You want to take a guess at what TrackMan claims their margin of error is, by the way? Not to say like this should be any better. It's easier to do this in the NFL.
Sure.
But want to guess what their margin of error is, where they think it is?
Well, when I hit the ball, it's a lot of margin for error because I always hit it straight and awesome. So yeah. When it goes like
there
way
is nothing
like 30 yards margin of error.
30 yards?
Yeah.
Everyone's got that friend that every time they go to the same like,
this doesn't work.
Is so off.
This doesn't
There's
work.
No way that ball. Yeah. Trackman says 1 foot. Hmm. 1 foot is it.
So every time,
and they go by yards, so that would basically say they're telling you that we're right every single time.
A third
on the yardage.
Wow, well, I mean, how many times have I come up 1 foot short on a chip? Just saying.
That's true.
That should count. That was in. I'm going to say that next time I play you on the sim.
If it's 1 foot, shouldn't TrackMan make the hole bigger? Like, hey, we're admitting it's 1 foot, so we're going to make the hole 1 foot bigger. Oh, that would be huge then, wouldn't it? That sounds like it's not that much. The hole already is only like a couple of
How
inches.
How many strokes lower would you shoot if the hole was a foot?
A foot?
A foot bigger.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't you?
Would be par.
Like, you would shoot 72?
Yeah.
No way.
72. I have one putt every time.
You're not.
That's a huge hole.
You're not tapping in every single hole.
No, but I'm making, aren't you making like 90% of your 20 footers now?
No way.
Yeah.
90%?
Yeah. The 20-footers, 15-footers.
I don't know what golf course is going to destroy the cups that they have on the green to find out this question, but if anybody wants to offer.
You just have to buy one of those, the things they make the cups with. Just buy a bigger one.
Yeah. I don't know if they make those. A 1 foot.
Somebody's got to make one.
Diameter.
Somewhere. What about, they play the, aren't those soccer ball golf courses out there? Soccer golf, isn't that a thing?
It's a thing.
I don't think it's a thing here, but I've seen videos of it. How do they get those in the hole? You need a soccer ball size hole.
Well, usually, yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe they don't have holes. Maybe you hit a target.
They might dig that with a shovel. Who knows? Sal coming up at 8. It's the return of the blue and red tonight. Bills preseason rolls on. Hall of Fame game was last night. Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend, including Marv Levy will be honored. He turns 100
yep.
in 2 days, so... happy early birthday to Marv. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Hey, I owe you the pick of the week from yesterday. Pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales is a 2004 hot red Chevy SSR. Retro style roadster blends muscle with style, and it's ready to cruise. Hurry down to Riverfront Auto Sales today where the deals drive themselves. 1379 Niagara Street. Shop online at riverfrontautosales.com. Call 886-1626. I saw this roadster yesterday. Went down to Riverfront, talked to Marty. Mr. Marty, I'm about my son because I discovered that whenever I go down to Riverfront for, you know, get service on the vehicle, or I can burn 20 minutes there because my son, like most four-year-olds, likes Hot Wheels cars.
Yep.
And when you go down to Riverfront, there's a bunch of Hot Wheels cars. Not little ones, but
like real ones.
Corvettes and roadsters and the classic cars. So
yeah,
got some time to burn. Like, you want to go see some cars?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that yesterday. The official pace car of an Indy 500 sitting there. It's cool. You know? He likes race cars.
Nice. Has he been asking for a race car bed like most kids do at some point?
Not yet, but everything else race cars. Yeah.
Well, that's coming. Maybe he doesn't know that there are race car beds.
Did you have, you know what? That's likely.
So you got to be careful. The first time he sees a race car bed, he's going to be like, I want that.
Did we all want a race car bed at some point?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you wanted that.
Right? Everybody?
Yeah.
Owen?
You had Hot Wheels? Hot Wheels been around since 1968, I think.
I had Hot Wheels, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hot Wheels and Lincoln Logs. Those are my two go-tos.
Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. And Beyblades.
How many people can say they lived in a Lincoln Log house?
Did you?
I did.
Wow.
Grew up in a log cabin.
Wow.
You grew up in a log cabin?
Yep. My parents built it like 3 or 4 years before I was born and
really?
Grew up there my whole life.
Interesting. Did you have Lincoln Logs then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I played with Lincoln Logs all the time. Used to set up the little army guys in there. And
Lincoln Logs are great.
Do that stuff. It was fun.
Yeah, Lincoln Logs were good.
Lincoln Logs over Legos?
No. No way.
No.
Fine.
No way.
That's fine. I might have played with Lincoln Logs more, but that's probably right. You can do way more things, obviously, with Legos. Like way, 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 way more.
That's right. But Lincoln Logs are less
They're great.
Annoying to clean up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hurt less when you step on one, possibly?
I feel like putting the logs together is more satisfying than putting the two Legos together.
You know what? I don't have a counterpoint.
By the way, very quickly for I'll throw a pick of the week candidate in there. The Killers this weekend.
Tomorrow.
My wife asked, do we think Dawson Knox will be up on the stage at one point?
I think Bills players will be there.
Knox and Kincaid are always the two that are dancing the most to it when it's happening on the stadium.
I want you to tell me how great the show is because I had tickets and I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
We made a family decision to do something else because there's something else to do that is important to us. And I love the Killers, and I love the idea of an outdoor concert, and it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
And everybody I know is going.
Do you want me to tell you it's amazing, though, or do you want me to be like, it was fine, you didn't miss much?
I do want you to tell me it's amazing.
All right.
Because I've seen them before, so I'll live. 803-0550, if you're going to the stadium today, have a good time. Battle of Blue and Red. We'll talk to Sal about what to expect, the latest on the injury front as well. Sal joins us coming up here in about 10 minutes on WGR.